me explain what we're going to do, hopefully as we meet over the next few months. What I want to learn together with you are the Sichos Musar of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. I want to do it for two reasons. The first is that when I was in high school, the learning of Sichos Musar had a big impact on me, and I appreciated them very much. It had a very big roshem on my own growth and trajectory, and that was thanks to the classes on Sichos Musar that were given by Rabbi Yamin Goldsmith when he was my Rebbe in high school, and on Thursday nights, those had a big impact on me. And the second thing is that a couple of years ago, I was at a meeting with other rabbis, other rabbanim, and a rabbi who's well known in the Tri-State area made a comment about a classic idea in the Sichos Musar of Chaim Shmulevitz. And the comment was that the idea is stale, it's old, it's not relevant, and those ideas don't really speak to our generation anymore. I thought that was 100% incorrect. I thought that was 100% wrong, and I think that the ideas of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's Sichos Musar that he gave in the early 1970s were as relevant then, and they are incredibly relevant now, and they'll always be relevant. They're so relevant, and they are so ubiquitous in how we think as a Jew and how we learn Torah and how we approach the world, that there are so many famous ideas that you probably already know, but you don't realize they come from Rav Chaim Shmulevitz's incredible, clear way of presenting Torah ideas in our relationship with one another, ourselves, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I think Sichos Musar is a great intro to excellent hashkaf of how to think, how to act as a Jew, and to work on our Bein Adam L'Makom, Bein Adam L'Chavero, and Bein Adam L'Atzmo, and our own personal growth. So each week, we're going to pick one of the Sichos. The Sichos were given from Tavshin Lamed Aleph to Tavshin Lamed Gimel, 1971 to 1973. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, in Yerushalayim. I don't remember the story exactly why he started giving these Sichos, but I think there were about 3 years where there was no mashkiach in the yeshiva. There was no person who was in charge of, the spiritual development, and he took it upon himself to give these talks. The talks were immensely popular. People came in from all over Eretz Yisrael to listen to these talks. The basement was packed in the mirror. They were huge events because Rav Chaim Shmulevitz had a way of presenting really important ideas in a really clear, relevant, meaningful way. Now, we're not going to learn together through the Sefer together. I'm going to sit here and translate. You don't need me to sit here and translate. What I would recommend is, if a person is so motivated, you can go and get your own copy of Sichos Musar, and afterwards you can review the piece on your own. Art Scroll has a translation. I'd call it an abridged translation. It's not a word-for-word translation. It's called Sichos Musar of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, and they don't pick all three of that parsha. They pick one of that parsha, and they kind of summarize it and abridge it and explain it in English. If you want a way to, review on your own the idea that we're discussing from a different perspective. So what I'm going to do is what you have in front of you are the sources that Rav Chaim Shmulevitz discusses. And we're going to talk them out, we're going to go through them, raise the issues on the parsha, the question, the ideas of Chazal that he highlights, the Midrashim, the Gemaras that he really brings to light in a real way and makes it incredibly relevant. So let's begin. Parshas Truma is this week, so let's begin at the beginning. It says in the dedication of the Mishkan that Bnei Yisrael had to bring 13 types of things in order to build the Mishkan. Wood, gold, silver, all these different things. And the Pasuk says in Shmos, Avnei Shom Avnei Miluim, you have to bring these stones, La'efod V'Lachoshen, these special stones that would be used for the clothing of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. And this leads to the question of exactly the order and the particular way that the dedication to the Mishkan happened. It says there the order is very specific. It seems to go in an order of more and more, it go from more fancy to less fancy. It says that there's gold, then silver, then nechoshes, then techeles, and it goes lower and lower. At the very end of the list, there are these precious stones. So ask the Mefarshim on Chumash, if the list seems to be going in most expensive, most valuable, to least expensive and least valuable, why does the list of the things for the Mishkan have these jewels and these Avnei Shoham at the very end? Now this question is asked by the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and I brought for you his question here and his answer. He gives two answers. Reb Chaim Shlomowitz is going to focus on the second answer of the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Let's see what he says. B'tzarech ladas, lama kasav avnei shom v'avnei miluim b'seder achar kol ha'yud alf minim. Why do they come at the end? Minaroy hayolo l'sadrim kodem zav v'kesef. They should come before gold and silver, diamonds, rubies, sapphires, things like that. So he gives two answers. We care about the second answer. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Od nira. Al pi divrehem zal sh'amr b'yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says, she'ananim hayu meviyim es avnei hashoham. How did the Nisim, the princes of each Shevet, who actually brought these gifts to the Mishkan and to the building and the construction of the clothing for the Kohen Gadol, where did they get precious stones in the middle of the desert? They did not have like a jewelry store there, and they weren't mining for these things. So where did they come from? So the Gemara says that they came through clouds. There was ananim, hayu mevim es avnei hashom, and they dropped them in front of the tents of each of the presidents, the leaders of each tribe. Im kein mishulchan gavoy ha-mevim, it came from Hashem, below torech v'yegia, without any effort, without any sweat, any perspiration, any blood or tears, below chisaron kiss, it didn't cost them anything. Asher al korecho seder nidvasam, achar kol nidvos shemevim mechisam ayidei torech. And therefore, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, the reason why these things come last is because there was no effort in bringing them. They didn't have to work for them, they didn't have to mine them, they were simply dropped at their doorstep, and they left these precious jewels in front of them, and that was it, without any amelus, without any yegia. It's very nice that they're very fancy and they're very beautiful, but at the end of the day, effort comes before anything else. The most beloved thing in the eyes of Hashem, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, and this is the idea Reb Chaim Shlomowitz is going to develop here, the most beloved thing in the eyes of Hashem is your effort. It's very nice that you're a tzaddik, and it's very nice that you're very smart, or you're very athletic, or whatever it may be. But Hashem cares about one thing, and that is the effort that you're putting in. If you simply have the information handed to you on a platter, that's great, but it's not special to Hashem. And that's where the Avnei Shom come at the end. They're beautiful stones, they're very valuable, they're very special, it's very nice. But really, 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 HaKadosh Baruch Hu values effort. It says, Rachmana Libabai, Hashem desires our heart. That's the most important thing in the way Hashem is grading different things. And he goes on to explain that the pasuk says, "Me'es kol ish asher yidvenu libo," that it comes from a person who gives nedivas lev. He gives his heart. That's how you build the Mishkan, by giving your heart and really investing in something through amelus, through effort, for whatever you have. It says the Gemara above Metzia says. Listen to this Gemara. The Gemara says, "Rotza adam bekav shelo, mitisha kabin shel chavero." The Gemara wants to know the following case: if I have fruit, if I have something and it's going to spoil, and I, before it spoils, I have a bundle of oranges and I give it to my neighbor to watch. And I go to Florida for 2 months, and while my oranges are at my neighbor's house, they're beginning to turn a little bit brown, and the flies are beginning to form around them, and the oranges are going bad. So the neighbor who's watching the oranges is a bit concerned. What should I do? Should I sell the oranges and then take the money and give it back to the guy who's in Florida? Or should I just let them rot because, whatever, he didn't say anything to do with it and just leave it the way it is? What would he prefer? To have his rotten oranges, or he prefer to have the money? So the Gemara says, listen to this line, Rotza adzim bekav shelo, mitisha kavin shel chavero. A person always wants one portion of his effort versus nine portions of his friends. What do you value more? The project that you worked on yourself, that which you put into, even though it wasn't great, it wasn't amazing, right? You have a little kid who works on a project in school, and they with the sticks and the glue and the pipe cleaners and the googly eyes, and they put together this amazing thing. It doesn't look so great. No, it looks terrible, honestly, and it looks like a melted snowman at best. So what's so exciting? Because for the child, yes, the mora could have made a beautiful project, and it would have looked exactly like it was designed. But what's more meaningful to the child? That he made it himself. The kav shelo. Yes, is it as nice? Is it as pretty as the other one? No, but he made it myself, right? A person's trying their hand at woodworking, right? And they make a desk or a table or a chair, something they want to use in their house. Does it look like they bought it from the store? No, but they made it themselves. They put in their effort, and it's more beloved, and it's more beautiful to them. So he writes over here, Ki achashivas nimdedes lefi nidvas halev. The chashivas of something, the value of something, all depends on the nediva slave. What effort you put into that thing. That's how you value things. You don't value things based on what it says in the street and what your friends say or what the going rate is on the market. You value things, says Rechaim Shalevitz, based on the nediva slave. What heart you put into it. That's the most important thing. So he brings a support for this again from Bikurim. It says by Bikurim, V'ata hine havesi es reishis pri adama, I brought the first of my fruits, asher nasati l'Hashem, v'hinachlam t'Hashem l'kecha, and I brought my first fruits to Hashem, v'ishtachavis l'fnei Hashem l'kecha, and I bow down before Hashem. Says Reb Chaim, there is no other mitzvah in the Torah where Hashem says, I want you to bow before me to do that mitzvah. You don't put up a mezuzah and then bow down to Hashem. And you don't put on tzitzis and bow down to Hashem. And you don't separate challah and bow down to Hashem. Why is it by Bikurim we have this glorious act, this idea of bowing before Hashem, Yirfnei Hashem, this higher connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So says Reb Chaim, it's obvious. Because do you know what it takes to bring Bikurim, to have a field, and to remove the rocks and the stones, and to plow, and to plant, and to water, and to keep the wild animals out, and to deal with Shemitah, and all the different complications. And then, to bring that piece of fruit, and not take it for yourself. What do you do with those grapes, and those olives, and those dates, and those pomegranates, and that wheat, and that barley? What do you do with it? You bring it to who?
Hashem.
You bring it to Hashem. And you take that, and you put it before Hashem. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rechaim Shulevitz over here, that person who divests himself of all physicality and says, all the effort I put in, I'm giving it to Hashem, that person has the right to be Yishtachavis Lefnei Hashem Elkecha, to come closest as possible to Hashem, because a high level of effort equals closest to Hashem. The person who plants and puts all the sweat and tears into making those Bikurim and bringing them to Hashem, that's effort. And that effort equals closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu than anybody else. That's the mitzvah that's going to get you there, because that's a mitzvah that highlights one's effort. He brings another source from a Gemara in Sota. The Gemara says in Sota Daf Yud Beis, "Vatikach lo tevas goma." When they put Moshe in the basket, they made it out of tevas goma. It's like a very cheap reed. It's not a very nice basket. Maishna Guma, what is it that they, what, why did they make it out of this cheap basket, asked Chazal. Amar Rebbe Lazar, Michel Nesadikim Shemamonam, Chaviv Aleim Yosem Megufan, V'kokach Lama, V'vishem Poshin Yedeim B'gezal. So the Gemara says something striking. It's a very striking Gemara. It says that Yocheved, when she wanted to make a basket for her son, chose cheap material. She didn't choose expensive wood that perhaps would have been, you know, nicer for Moshe in the basket, for the baby in the basket. She chose cheap reeds. So the Gemara says, so odd. You're putting your baby in a basket hoping for the best. So what are they choosing this cheap thing for? So the Gemara says that the money of tzaddikim is more beloved than money is to other people. Why? Because they didn't steal. Tzaddikim are careful with every dime, nickel, quarter, to make sure that it's their efforts, they don't cheat the system, they don't take something that doesn't belong to them. And because they put effort and honesty and integrity into making that money, so therefore, that money is beloved to them. And that's why they couldn't even use fancier wood to make that basket for Moshe. Look at the Maharsha. The Maharsha says, Hachash, the Maharsha is the classic commentary on the Agadot portions of the Gemara, the Midrashim and the stories, the Machshavas. The Maharsha says, Hachashay mishtamer gam begema, el sheyosay mishtamer ba'itzim acherim. Probably could have been a better boat with better wood. Umlahazkir bekrushay aguma. Why is the Torah telling this? Lashmu'inan mikam tzadikim, to tell us about tzadikim. Dim lokein ein lachadavr sh'omid b'fnei pikuach nefesh, v'koshkein mamam, right? You're putting your kid in a basket in the river. You probably want to choose the best thing. The only explanation could be is that obviously they weren't doing something dangerous. She's not putting her baby's life in danger. She's trying to save him. But at the same time, look at the chavivas, the love they have for the money that comes through righteousness, honesty, integrity. Again, back to our yesod, the more effort you put into something, the more valuable and the more beloved it is before you and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how far it goes. He says, Hadvarim mavhilim. These are amazing things. Again, Yochev and Moshe Rabbeinu, a baby, that's how far the lesson of nedivas lev, of effort, goes in to how far a person values and loves something. Okay? Good? Everyone's good? Okay. So he gives other examples as well. He talks about, this is the concept of amelus b'Torah, putting effort into Torah. Right? It's very nice that I'm sitting here saying over a mimer from Chaim Shlomitz to you. That's beautiful. But what's more valuable is for you to go and pick up a piece of Torah, break your head over a sefer, try to figure out a Rashi, try to figure out a Ramban. That Torah will be more beloved to you. It's very nice. Again, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to spoon feed to you, you know, the Sichos Mitzvah of Chaim Shlomitz. But the most beloved Torah to everybody here is the Torah that you're going to work on. You're going to develop. You're going to work on your skills. You're going to try to figure out a piece of a Rishon or a Sefer that you never tried before. That's to become more beloved to you because you worked hard at it very, very much. That's the idea of Amelus B'Torah. The Pasuk says, Im b'chukosai teilechu v'etz mitzvotai tishmora, right? If you'll go in my way, says Hashem, and you keep my mitzvos. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Hayu Amelim B'Torah. Amelus B'Torah, effort in Torah, is the most beloved thing. That's the most beautiful thing in the eyes of Hashem. Rashi in Kedushin says, the Gemara in Kedushin says, Uvesoraso yehageh. You should engage in learning Torah. Ki im b'Torah Hashem chefso, says Rashi, Uvesoraso yehageh b'tchilahi, nekreis Torah Hashem. Originally, the Torah is Torah Hashem, Hashem's Torah. Umishalamda v'garsahi, but when you learn Torah, and you work on your skills and understanding, and you figure out a complicated piece, and you open up an area of Torah that you never worked on before, and then you grew from learning this thing, he nikreis Torah so. It's your Torah now. There's nothing more beloved to a person than the Torah they put effort into, they broke their teeth over, they figured out through their own kochus with the help of Hashem, with a chavrusa, trying to, you know, sing there with a dictionary, you know, translating every single word until you get the words right. You know, it can become very meaningful. I'll tell you myself personally, when I was in yeshiva, I wanted to learn the works of Rav Shlomo Volbe, the famed Mashgiach in Eretz Yisrael. His classic work is Ali Shor. Ali Shor, for a person who's just starting to grow in yeshiva, doesn't have the skills background yet, Ali Shor is a very difficult work. Rav Volbe wrote in almost a modern Hebrew style. He wrote it for modern Israelis and Bnei Yeshiva, Bnei Torah. He wrote it in a style that is challenging. It's not as easy as other Sfarim. So that meant to be sitting there day after day, the dictionary, looking up a word, you know, writing it down, making sure I understood the sentence, and putting it back in. To go through the whole Sefer twice, it took a lot of time. It took a lot of effort. But to this day, Ali Shor is one of my most favorite Sfarim to go to, and to look at and to review, because it took a lot of amelus. I poured myself as best as I could into that Sefer to understand it. And it speaks to me because, and it became beloved to me because of all the effort I put into it, and became that much more meaningful. Okay? Okay. Let's look at the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, Shechaviva Torah alamdeha b'chol yom v'yom ki yom shenasa mehar Sinai. The Torah is beloved by who? Alamdeha, the ones who learn it. The Torah becomes beloved to the people who invest themselves and put their hearts into it and work on it and develop it and try to become better at it and to put that time into it and become as beloved as if you were standing at Har Sinai. Then Rav Chaim Shulevitz brings out an incredible yesod about effort. So we spoke about effort in Torah learning. We spoke about effort in mitzvos, right? Look at this beautiful idea. He says that the nature of people is that they love things and they have a kesher with the things that they invest in. Right? This is what we've established. And he says, Hu kedei le'afshar lo l'salos l'skadel b'siso mishalo l'zaloso. This is also the same thing with relationships. This is such a beautiful and important idea. Says Reb Chaim, the relationships that are most meaningful to you are those relationships that you put effort into. Relationships that kind of just click, you know, you met this person, you clicked right away, but there was never ups and downs. There was never struggles. There was never any tension you had to work out. Those are great and those are fine friends. But do you know who your best friends are? The best friends are the people who are with you when things are difficult, when things are challenging. You invest in them. You're there when it's difficult for you and you don't have the time, but you stay up late talking to them. And you go over to their house when they need an extra pick-me-up. And you invest your time and your effort and sometimes your money in those relationships. That builds love. That teva is what allows us to connect to other things and other people. Okay? By nediva slave, by giving yourself to other people, that builds love. And then he writes something very important. He says, look at the Derech Eretz Zut. Derech Eretz Zut is a collection of statements of Chazal. Listen to this. He says, Im chafeitzata lihidabek ba'avas chaverecha. Do you want to love people more? Do you want to be a person who loves people? Haveinosi venosim betovas. Then do them a favor. And Reb Chaim Shalevitz here opens up a very important yisod. And it happens to be, in one paragraph here, he says the same thing that Rav Dessler says in his Kuntras HaChesed. Right? Did we learn Kuntras HaChesed yet? So what's Rav Dessler's yisod in Kuntras HaChesed? Giving creates love, right? Love doesn't create giving, right? We make a mistake. We think that I give to those people that I love the most. No, that's wrong. You love the people that you give to the most. And Reb Chaim Shalevitz says the same thing. Of course, the same thing with Orach HaTzaddikim. The way to build love to other people is by giving them of your body and your soul and your time. That's how you develop those feelings. And that's V'hatarecha Kamocha. The way you develop that is by giving to them. Right? A parent loves a child partially, if not mostly, because of all the time and effort they put in. The staying up late at night, and the changing the diapers, and the feedings, and the burpings, and the walks around the block, and going to the parks, and going to the sitter plays, and all these things. What is it? It's because the parent invests time and effort into that child, and that builds that love. And it's the same thing. If you have a person in your life who is challenging, that's a safe word, no? They're a challenging person. They're not easy to get along with. They're struggled. They're not the easiest personality. But you want to fix that relationship. You want it to be better. So then give to that person. Don't sit back and say, well, if I just hope and I pray, eventually things will turn around. No, no, no. Give to that person. Give of your time. Give of your effort. Make them something for Shabbos. Get them a gift. Go out with them. Give yourself. And when you give to that person, you invest in that person, you'll come to love them more. That's the equation. Yeah.
So it's like part of it is also that like it's like really easy to like love yourself and like want the best for yourself, and like I said, there's like a lot of cookies, like easy to think like, oh, I want that for myself. So like when like you give of like yourself to others, like you're kind of like giving a piece of yourself to like the people around you, and then like you start to like love them and want the best for them, and then like if you give that to everyone, then like you like love everyone.
Correct. Exactly. That's how you build those circles. There's a Rosh Shimon Shkup was a very famous Rosh Yeshiva in Europe. He's Rosh Yeshiva of Grodno, which was a big yeshiva in Europe. And he wrote a sefer on Gemara, on Lamdus, on a halacha called Shari Yosher. Okay, so Shari Yosher is a very important sefer in yeshivas, but he is most famous for the introduction to Shari Yosher. The introduction to Shari Yosher, Rosh Shimon Shkup says that everybody loves themselves, right? Right? You have to love yourself before you love other people. You have to be whole with yourself. You love your ani. You love yourself. The goal, he says, is to expand your ani to as many people as possible, right? You love yourself, but then you have your family. So like your circle moves out a little bit. You love your family because they're connected to you. And then you love your friends that you're close with because they're connected to you. And you love your neighbors because it's a little bit more, right? And as you get further and further away from your ani, so the people you're not in contact with are not so beloved to you. So he says, our goal in this world is to expand our sense of ani, to make that tent bigger, that this person is part of my, you know, my sense of ani, who I am, of loving myself, and this person I never met before is part of my sense of ani, and to expand that bigger and bigger and bigger. The way you do that, says Rav Dessler, says Reb Chaim Shalevitz here, is by engaging, nediva slave, effort. The effort you put into other people is how you're going to expand that sense of ani and really develop that sense of love. It is such an important yisod that sometimes it is difficult for people who are in difficult relationships to see, because they're very focused and narrow on the difficulty of the relationship, of how problematic this person is, and they can't break it out and say, well, what if I stopped this cycle and I gave to them instead? This is also a big discussion by Mishloach Manos on Purim, right? This is a big discussion. What's the purpose of Mishloach Manos? Is it for the Suda, or is it to increase love amongst Jews? Because Haman said the Jewish people don't get along, and we want to counteract that by giving Mishloach Manos. So what do we often do? What do we do on Purim, right? We make our 10 fancy Mishloach Manos with our adorable theme, right? And then we go and give it to our 10 best friends. That's wonderful. But did you, of course, what did you accomplish then? So you gave 10 gifts that you put in 17 hours with before Purim to the 10 people who like you already. So then what did we gain over here? Better is to take those Mishloach Manos and give it to the person that's, I don't know, not your best friend. You want to develop a relationship more. And take that Mishloach Manos and give it to them. Because that's going to increase your appreciation, your effort, your love for them as well.
So awkward, I
want to be okay. Okay. I hope I didn't ruin everybody's Mishloach Manos. So, but again, so he has explained our relationship with Mitzvos and Hashem, our relationship to Torah, other people as well, all about effort. Effort is what makes those things beautiful and worth it. He gives two examples from two different tzaddikim. He says, Rav Chiya, the Gemara Moed Katan here, I brought on the other side of the page, I brought the English translation of the Gemara. Listen to this Gemara. It's a wild Gemara. It says, the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death, cannot come near Rabbi Chiya because he was such a tzaddik, he couldn't take his neshama. So one day the angel of death appeared to him as a poor person. And he came and he knocked on the door and he said to Rav Chiya, bring out for me bread. I need tzedakah, bring me bread. And he took out bread for him. So the Malach HaMavis said to Rav Chiya, Master, do you not have mercy on a poor person? So why then do you not have mercy upon that man, meaning on me, and give me what I want? Meaning, if you have rachmanis on a poor person, and you are giving them, and you're giving them bread what they need, so have rachmanis on me, and let me take, my job is to take her neshama. So have rachmanis and let me do my job. The Malach HaMavis revealed his identity to him, showed him his fiery rod, whatever this means, his tool that takes the neshama, whatever that means. This is obviously way beyond us. And at that point, Rabbi Chiya surrendered himself to the Malach HaMavis. Okay, so obviously this Gemara requires deeper understandings. This is a Gaditza. There's deeper levels here. But what's the message? So Rashi explains, Rechai Shalevet says that Ein Dvarim Muvanim Klal. What a strange thing. I have Rachmanis on a poor person, so you have Rachmanis in the Malach HaMavis. Malach HaMavis doesn't even have Rachmanis. He's doing just fine. His business is A-okay by him. He doesn't need anything else from us. So he says, what's going on over here? So he explains, Sarach lomar sheyoda haya Malach HaMavis Rav Chiya kashu hunosen lani prusas lechem. Lo lechem lovad hunosen lo. And this is what, I think what you said in the name of Mrs. Kamnetsky, this is the same idea. When Rav Chiya gave bread to a poor person, he wasn't just giving bread to a poor person. He was giving a piece of himself. He was giving totally kol libo v'nafsho. He gave that bread. He didn't just say, here's a piece of bread, have a good day. When he entered that piece of bread, he was giving with every fiber of his being and all of his love for that person. Tzadikim, chaviv aleihem mamonim. Tzadikim love their money, right? They're careful about their money. So to give over that bread is giving the essence of who he was. So therefore he says the same thing over here. If you are giving up yourself, you're being moser nefesh, when you're giving totally of yourself to the poor person and you give them bread, so says the Malach HaMavis, so just be moser nefesh all the way. Give your neshama up to me as well. It's the same thing for you. Because when you give up that bread, you're giving up every single thing who you are. You're giving with total heart and soul. So I'm the Malach HaMavis, so also give me your heart and soul. Rav Chiya, there's no difference. There's no difference over here. You're giving your neshama anyway. When you give the bread, you're giving up your neshama because you're giving everything you got. So give me your neshama. There's no distinguishing between the two. That's the argument of the Malach HaMavis.
But then he can't ever do it again.
But his time is up. Meaning, the Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malach HaMavis because his time is up. That was it. That's what it was meant to be. He says also by Avram Avinu. That's the second example. By Avram Avinu, he had guests, right, in the desert. And it says, the Medrash says, look at this Gemara in Bava Metzia, Pei Vav, V'tana debei Rabbi Yishmael. B'schar shlosha zachu shlosha. In the merit of three things, so the Bnei Yisrael merited three things because of Avram Avinu's actions. B'schar chema v'chalav, in the merit of the milk and the cream that he brought, zachu l'man, they merited to have the man. B'schar v'hu omed aleihem, in the merit of him standing over them and serving them, la'amud ha'anan, they merited to have a cloud in the desert to protect them. And b'schar yukach nama atmayim, in bringing water for them, zachu l'be'er shemelam, he merited to have his children have the bear of Miriam. So says Rechaim Shalevitz, what's going on over here? There's a huge difference. He gave him a, like, butter and cream, and they got man. It's not an equal exchange, Hashem, right? Right? He gave a little bit of water, so he had a magical well. The exchange rate's not equal. He says, no, because when Avram Avinu gave, whoa, did Avram Avinu give? He gave with every single fiber of his being. He was totally putting his effort, his heart and his soul into that chesed, into that staka. And therefore, yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw, woo, the way Avram Avinu gave, with that nediva slave, with that heart, that effort, that passion, the effort he put into that tzedaka, Bnei Yisrael are going to get an Amud Ha'anan, they're going to get a cloud, they're going to get man, they're going to get a magical well to give them water. And that was perfectly an equal response to what Avram gave versus what Bnei Yisrael got. That is the major piece over here that he says over the first part of Chaim Shlomitz's drush over here. That's part one. Let me just say over part two. He goes back to Rechaim's first answer, right? Let's go back to our original question, which was, how come the stones in the Parsha are at the end? They should be first the more valuable. So the Or HaChaim says, Ulai, perhaps, ki litzad shematzinu shanasim, heviu osam ba'achrona, kishiro sheviu Yisrael kol asarach l'mishkan. What was the Nesim's plan? They said, let everybody bring, and then what? Mm-hmm. We'll step in and we'll, like, fill in the rest, right? V'timsa sha'am ruzal, the Medrash says, shehikpet Hashem alzeh, Hashem was not pleased with that, v'chasar os echas mehem, and he took away a letter. And that's why it says, v'ha Nesim, lacking a yud. The yud, and the word Nesim is missing, siv. L'zeh sidram Hashem ba'achrona lomar, kihem lamat mikulam. And therefore Hashem wanted to show there was something lacking in what they did. Mahatam atz mashem ba'achrona v'havim, because they went last. So he explains over here, missing a yud is a big deal. It's not a small thing, right? How often do we talk about Yehoshua was saved because they took the yud from Sarai and they gave it to Yehoshua to be Yehoshua ben Nun? It's a big deal. There's a big lesson over here in what the Rechaim is saying. There must be something very, very powerful lacking in what the Nesi'im did, in the fact that they didn't go and give right away. He explains that Mesiras Nefesh, Klal Yisrael put in Mesiras Nefesh in order to go and fulfill the mitzvah of dedicating to the Mishkan. And what they did is, he says, the pasuk says, "V'yahavtes Hashem lokecha b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha," that you have to give up your heart and you have to give up your soul for Hashem. So he says, "Ki ha'ohev eino mechashev cheshbonos." If you love something, you don't make calculations. You don't try to figure out. If you love something, you go and you do it. Ela kofei tu moser, you jump up. Your moser nafsho b'tarim yaspiko hirim. Before you start making calculations, b'cheshbonos v'etrida lemano, that will get in the way. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, if the Nesi'im loved, if they had Avas Hashem, they would have jumped up and said, we got to get that stuff for Hashem. We got to get that stuff for the Mishkan. But they sit back, they're making cheshbonos, they're making calculations. I don't know, maybe we shouldn't go first, because what's going to happen? There was a lack of excitement. There was a lack of jumping at the opportunity. Okay? And he says this was this lacking in their Avas Hashem. He says, for this reason, this is the idea of being moser nefesh, of giving up our lives, b'chol nafshecha. I saw, I don't remember where, but Rav Bakshi Daron, who was the chief rabbi of Israel, the Sfarashi rabbi of Israel, he writes in one of his shuvos that there's a famous machlokas between the Radbaz and the Chacham Tzvi about, is it better to perform a mitzvah that happens right away or wait for a better chance to do the mitzvah? Let's say a person's in jail and the guy in charge of jail says you have one day to get out. You can do whatever you want for one day and you have to come back into jail. So should he take today and go right away and do the first mitzvah opportunity and do everything you can in one day? Or should you wait for like Yom Kippur? Or wait for like a really special day? What would we say?
Do it right away.
So this is a machlokas. This is a big machlokas in the Radvaz and the Chacham Tzvi. So he says a proof that the Radvaz is correct, that you do it right away, is this. It's this yesod from Rechaim Shmulevitz. This idea. Because when you love something, you do it right away. If you love Hashem, you run in the right away, and you do it right away, and you don't just make calculations. So he goes on to develop that idea as well, which is somewhat tied in to idea of our idea of Amelus B'Torah, Amelus in our relationships, Amelus in our relationship with Hashem. Effort is the most important thing. That's the yesod here in Parshas Truma. We see from the Nesi'im, we see from the gemstones that were dropped at the entrance of their tents. Effort is the most important thing. It's the most important value. It's the most important barometer of success, and that is the effort that you put into things. It's what's most beloved in Hashem's eyes. Sometimes that can be very challenging for us because we are often trained to be results-oriented. We like to see certain grades, and we like to see certain accomplishments, and there are certain marks that we want to achieve. If we don't achieve those things, so then we feel as if we're not valued, we're not worthy, we haven't accomplished. And what we need to be better at is to look at the efforts that we put into. Because the only greater that counts is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The only person who marks that counts is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the only thing Hashem is looking at on his test is the efforts and the heart that you're putting into it. And we can't get ourselves bogged down with, it didn't happen, it didn't work out the way I wanted to, it was a waste of time. There's no waste of time. If you're trying your hardest, and you're doing your best, and you're putting everything in, Rachmana Liba Bai. Hashem desires your heart. Right? Whatever it is, davening, brachos, whatever the halacha, the mitzvah you're trying to develop in, you're trying to work on, the effort you're putting in is the best barometer of your success. Are you trying your best? That's only between you and Hashem. Only Hashem can know that. Are you putting in your best efforts? Are you putting in your time, your sincerity, to try to grow in that area? So if you are, so then, great. And if not, so then, yeah, that's what we have to work on, is our efforts and our hearts, the nediva slave, because that's the greatest chashivas that we can have. Okay? Good.